just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Monday. We're starting out another week. It's going to be kind of a crazy week. We've got Donald Trump back on trial. I'm on the road, so you're going to be hearing a lot of podcasts that weren't recorded the night of, as we normally do it. This one, however, will be done Sunday night into Monday morning, and got some good news about this, too. First of all, Old Soul is on the show today, but that's not even the best news. Old Soul will be here today, but she'll also be here on Friday. Like I told her, the only thing better than Old Soul once a week is Old Soul twice a week. So, Old Soul, thanks for coming back, and thanks for willing to work with me here. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No problem.
All right. So, well, you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about with what's going on with Donald Trump and such, but what's been going on with you? I think people are just as interested in that, between the wild child, the sucking client, Uncle Cleo. You know, there's a lot of shit going on in your life, and we got to.
It was busy today. So I don't know if they do this in other states or not, but out here you can rent a theater, like the movie theater. So like they have Elvis. Like a double feature. Yeah. So the double feature is like $500, right? But there's like so many of us, everybody chips in like 30, 40 bucks. We make like hoagie sandwiches, get some chips, you know, bottle some drinks, bring a couple sodas, go, and it's all good. So I was telling the wild child, like, hey, you know, I know that you have like some friends that you meet up at the park, you know, just let them know that we were renting a theater for a day, where she's from. They don't do stuff like that. And if they want, they could just come see a couple free movies. And so she's like, okay, but she was kind of like nervous. I guess there's this guy she has a crush on or whatever. And she was like extra time combing her hair, primping. He seemed like a good guy, but he smells so bad. Like you can't avoid it. So my Uncle Cleo, cause like my whole family, my little niece, a couple of her friends, their parents, the wild child, a couple of kids in the park, my daughter, her boyfriend, their friends, like we got a whole theater. So whoever wants to come, just come. Right. And so we kind of was like talking to him. And I guess there's this new thing that some of the kids are doing. It's like ceremony or heremone or something, I don't know, but what ceremone, it is like, yeah. We're animals, and we have like a natural like smell or something, and so instead of like showering, they just go off of their natural scent, and he is like a super pheromone type of kid, I don't know, it was weird. So he was telling us about it, so I asked him, I was like, you know, so your parents and your family, like, do they shower? Is this like a cultural thing? And he's like, oh no, they shower all the time. But they don't infringe on me wanting to live my life how I want to. And so my honey, he's like, your family, they shower with like soap, water. he's like, yeah, this is just something that I do. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. So anyway, the kids, they're like sitting down like at the bottom, and the rest of us are sitting up top, and they have like some little kids off to the side. And when he left, she was like, I thought that he smelled like that because like we're at the park and they're like skateboarding and stuff. I'm like, you can't tell the difference between like last week's funk and yesterday's funk. Like he smelled so bad, but she was a good sport about it. We were all a good sport about it, but like, it just kind of reminded me of like, Pigpen. Ain't that the one from the Peanuts?
Right.
It's just like, well, like this dusty little kid with all this funk around him, but he's a good kid other than the fact that he doesn't believe in soap, lotion, that type of stuff.
It's, well, here's what I don't understand. I'm curious as to what the theory about not showering and not cleaning, that I'm just going to be natural about that. I don't know what the theory is behind that, other than being a lazy slob. I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, it's not a religion, is it? It's not some kind of activist. That seems weird to me.
It's just weird. The lifestyle that he's choosing to live. I guess for now, I did ask, like, do you think you would change that in the future? And he says, like, the natural smell, the natural scent of a person, I guess other people are supposed to be attracted to that as well.
Well, there is a product that's sold. It's called pheromones. I don't think it even has a smell, but guys put it on to attract women. I always thought, why not just have a good personality?
Well, I guess he's just supposed to be natural and you're supposed to be attracted to like his natural scent. So when the kids were like left and they're doing their own thing, I was like, told my family, like, hey, just let it go. Cause I know y'all gonna start talking about this kid. Let's not do that. I was like, plus y'all know how Bonnie is. Like, she always had like a weird friend that was into something different. All kids are different. So I'm kind of used to it. And my brother's like, yeah, but she never bring a stinky kid home, did she? And I was just like, It was so bad the way he smelled.
If a teenage kid doesn't shower for like a couple days, it's horrific. It's not like, oh God, he's attractive, he stinks. It's bad with a teenage boy. And somebody should tell him that. You know, I can add to that odor story. You know how I've always talked about my granddaughter, and oh, she'd come up to me and hug me and go, Grandpa, you smell like meat, and give me a hard time. Well, yesterday, my wife and I went to the park and had lunch with my son and my granddaughter. And my granddaughter, they're running around to the park. I'm not running anywhere. So my wife got a little sweaty, and my granddaughter remarked about my wife's odor at the point. She said, well, I drink coffee and have broccoli too. She goes, yeah, that's it. Now, keep in mind, I woke this kid up in bed and she is sweat from top to bottom. This kid doesn't smell very well, but she doesn't care about that. But she was giving Grandma a hard time about how she smelled. And I said to her, hey, Junie, how do I smell? And she grabs my arm and smells my arm, and she goes, pretty good. I go, well, thank you. And then when we go out to dinner, Grandma says, would you sit next to me, Junie? She goes, no, I'm going to sit next to Grandpa. He smells better. So I got one going for me here now. Everything's I said,
hey, at least she believes in equality. Grandma could get it too.
It's not about Grandma and Grandpa. It's about how bad you smell. And it just so happened I smelled a little better in her perception. She is a funny kid. She's a little smart aleck. This past week has been very interesting. You know, we've had the trial, and I know you've been watching it. I know you have observations from it. But we had a number of witnesses previous to this week, David Pecker, and then Rhona Graff, who was the administrative assistant to Donald Trump. But the real big news, of course, was Hope Hicks. And I was curious as to your observations of the Hope Hicks trial from what you've heard about it, or Hope Hicks' testimony.
I actually kind of looked at it as a bit of a tragedy, as much as I don't like Trump. For him, he doesn't like value people, so he doesn't really like value like friendships. For him, that's not something that he prioritizes.
Right.
But it seems like that is someone that he like kind of cared about, and he did prioritize her. I think he must have known that it's not something that she volunteered to do. It's not something she wanted to do. Just something she had to do. You know, she was subpoenaed. She didn't have any choice. I did see him like lashing out. But I noticed that he wasn't like lashing out at her personally like he does everyone else. He started turning his anger towards other people for some strange reason. What's her name? From the DC case, he was like talking about her. He brought E. Jean Carroll up again. So even though like what she had to do, like hurt him and stung him, he took that and like turned it towards other people. So I don't even think that he was able to face the fact that someone that he saw himself close to, him putting that person in that position. Like, I don't think that's something he could face. I think he knows what happened, but I think for himself, he kind of like shut that part off, which is pretty tragic. I would have liked for him to feel that. But
what's interesting about the testimony we've heard, David Pecker gave some pretty damning evidence against Donald Trump. Hope Hicks pretty much buried him in her testimony, even though she didn't want to do it. But he didn't lash out at either one of them. Now, the only thing I can compare that to, the only thing I can compare that to in my own experience with a narcissist, when I was a little kid, my dad would lash out at us, say the most horrific things. But when my brother and I got to be 16, 17, 18 years old, he wouldn't confront us like that. He would go to my mother and make the complaint and make her come to me. And that has to be, you know, you got a 16, 17 year old kid big as you. He might just retaliate. And of course, cowards don't want to be, they only want to be in positions where they know they can win. And when we got older, that was more uncertain. And you have to wonder if he's concerned about something more from Hope Hicks and David Pecker, or because other than that, it's just other than that, it has to be some sort of loyalty to them for not lashing out at them. And I just don't think Donald Trump has that capability of being loyal to anybody.
No, but at the same time, I think with his narcissism, even when people know things about him that he knows they have dirt on him, that still doesn't stop him from attacking them. He, in his mind, like, I'm Trump. They're not going to air out my dirty laundry. They won't dare do this. They won't dare do that. You know, and so he will, like Michael Cohen, how he slanders him, knowing that Cohen has him on tape. He literally has receipts and everything. Right. So it doesn't stop him because he just assumes that nobody is going to come at him the way he goes at them. I do think with those two, it was more of a personal thing than it was like in his brain strategic. He still lashed out, but it's like he couldn't bring himself to lash out at it. Hope Hicks, David Pecker, that might have had some, I don't want him to release some dirt type of stuff. But I do think it was personal with her. I just got that feeling.
With Hope Hicks, it was interesting. They had a chance, the defense team had a chance to cross-examine her. And they did, but for a very short period up until the break. And then they're not calling her back today. They asked her, you know, if Donald Trump was concerned about what Melania thought. And she said, yeah. That doesn't mean that he didn't do it for the election, too. And if he did it for both reasons, he's still guilty. So that doesn't really save him. She also brought something up that kind of tore down Donald Trump's premise about what happened here. Of course, he said, you know, Michael Cohen just paid it off out of the goodness of his heart, which is ridiculous. Nobody would do that. But she brought up and she was asked, do you think Michael Cohen is somebody that's able to do that? And she said, no, he was all about himself in this sort of thing. Because I think people forget now that prior to him going to jail and now turning on Donald Trump, he was a horrible piece of shit. He was just as big a bully as Donald Trump. He was Donald Trump's pit bull. So I'm not in love with Michael Cohen at this point, even though he's now on our side, per se. But when Donald Trump heard Hope Hicks say that, that had to click something even in his fucking delusional mind.
You know what? You're not alone on Michael Cohen, because I feel the same. I still look at him as like when he's on the Midas Touch and he has his podcast and all that stuff. To me, I just look at it as another grift for him. You know, like, I just get those vibes from him. I just don't get, like, he's just turned over this new leaf and he's recognized the error of his ways. I don't get that about him. And a lot of people in your comment section, they don't get that about him either. Like, they don't. So I felt like when someone like I actually responded to someone who was like, I thought it was just me, because everyone seems like, you know, he just realized the error of his ways and he went to prison and he got out a changed man. I never got those vibes from him. Like, not at all. But I do think with Trump and the defense, I think the defense knows, but what Trump doesn't know. So it's kind of like the prosecution could like hit the ball out of the park six times in a row. And then you'll have the defense come over here and make a point, hit the ball out of the park one time. And he feels like, ooh, that's a win. He doesn't count how much of an advantage the prosecution has. So I think in his mind, he may think that she wasn't as impactful of a witness because she said he did worry about Melania. But him worrying about Melania could mean a lot of different things. If I'm on the jury, I would be thinking he's worried about Melania leaving him prior to the election. He's right. worried about Melania, you know, writing a book like his first wife does. Like, when he's worried about Melania, what is he worried about exactly? So when you're on the jury and you're processing information, you're asking themselves that question, I don't even think that was as big of a deal as what people made it. Because him worrying about Melania finding out could ultimately come back to him. Like, if she finds out, how is that going to affect me in the election? Like, right. what's her reaction going to be? And how is that going to affect my campaign? It's right. not like, I love her so much, I don't want her to find out. We all know that's not true. And I'm pretty sure the jury knows that as well.
Well, you know, one of the problems Donald Trump has, he's not the brightest guy in the world. And as I've told you, he's not bright. And as I've suggested before, there's this syndrome that people, kids with narcissistic parents go through, and I presume employees of narcissistic bosses go through. These people are so prone to blowing up, becoming unhinged, yelling and screaming and firing people and doing things that are just egregious as hell. And it puts people in a mindset, because he's the bully, and these people don't have anything to fight back with, so they're just terrified that he gets to that point where he's unhinged, so they try to placate him. And I think this happened all the time he was in the presidency, and ever since, they placate him. They don't tell him the whole story. They don't tell him the truth necessarily. And you see that a little bit in Fox News and such. There are people coming out saying, oh, that first few weeks of trial, the prosecution really blew it. Donald Trump's going to win, which is exactly the opposite of what happened. But I think they sit around just to keep him placated, telling him lies or not telling him anything. And he's so dumb, he can't grasp it for himself. So I think that's the world that Donald Trump is in currently.
Yeah, you know what? This is kind of like why I like reading the comment section. So you know how like last week we were saying he's an anomaly when it comes to narcissism, like he's not smart. Right. Most narcissists, they're like methodical. They plan their next step. They know how to manipulate people. Right. But the reason that Donald Trump is able to be a stupid narcissist is because he didn't have to like kind of hone his skills as a narcissist. He didn't have to like learn how to like read people and play off people or anything. He just had like everything handed to him. So he was kind of able to abuse people with his narcissism. He never had to learn a smart way how to do it. You know, like he just didn't have to do that. So of course he was able to be dumb and be a narcissist because he never had to learn how to do it a smart way. So he still would have been narcissistic, whether he was born poor or not. He just would have known how to go about it better and how to manipulate people better than what he does. It's just like his narcissism is just full on bully. And I think about what's his name? The Menendez, the brothers, their dad, how narcissistic he was and these little mind games he used to play with his employees and the people around him. He was kind of like Trump, but he was able to like rein it in and he knew when to lash it out at people. Trump has like no control at all. So it's just because he was able to just have that handed to him and he was able to force it on people. He didn't have to learn how to do it in a strategic way.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. So that's kind of, I don't know if that's more dangerous or not, but
you're absolutely right. Most narcissists, their tool of choice is a scalpel. And they're very precision about things. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's tool of choice is a fucking sledgehammer. And it is that because, like you say, he's always gotten away with it. You know, most narcissists have to come up on their own and try to figure things out and try to make their own money. But he never had to do that. He was little Lord Fauntleroy from the beginning when he was born. And anytime something happened, dad bullied and saved his ass. So he's never really had to go into battle. It's just a matter of throwing bombs constantly. And now he's finding out that that's like not
never
going
had
to work.
He never had to hone those. Yeah, he never had to like hone those skills in, you know? So like if a narcissist fail at something, they just kind of learn from that experience and they know how to manipulate the situation next time. Like, as they progress through life, like, they get better and better at it. Like, they hone those skills in. He doesn't have that. He's just been able to be a wrecking ball. And it's just the system actually aided him in doing that. His bankruptcies, when he bankrupt other companies, he was never held accountable for any of that. So in his brain, he has the bravado, like, I'm Trump, I can do whatever I want. And so his narcissism came through that way instead of a strategic, smart way. Like, he never had to learn how to do that, which is kind of his downfall at this point. It's his downfall.
You know, we were talking about Hope Hicks, and I think I brought this up on the podcast before, or maybe it's on a future podcast. But a lot of people watched Hope Hicks pretty much tear down Donald Trump, throw him under the bus, and bury the motherfucker. And a lot of people tried to compare Hope Hicks to Cassidy Hutchinson. And personally, I don't think there's any comparison. I think they're two different kinds of women, two different kinds of integrity. I question Hope Hicks' integrity because she still supports Donald Trump. And I've always said when he was president, I said, you've been through 4 years. You've seen what you've seen. You've heard what you've heard. If you can still possibly support Donald Trump, there's something fucking wrong with you. You're either a liar or you're culpable. Yeah. And I think the same thing with Hope Hicks. I mean, she sat there, and in my estimation, at the end of the testimony when she cried, I think she cried because she realized what she did to this guy she still supports and loves, Donald Trump. And I just don't get that. Cassidy Hutchinson, on the other side, was just doing the right thing at the right time. She didn't wait till the last minute until she was forced to do it. She did what was right. And I just don't see any comparison between the two.
No, for me, like, as a woman who's dealt with a narcissist like that, you can either, like, be submissive, you could placate, or you can just kind of, like, recognize that, and then you can get away from it. You know what I mean? Right. And I look at Cassidy Hutchinson as somebody who just kind of, like, lived in denial. But then when she realized what was going on, she just, like, came forward and did what she had to do. Hope Hicks is someone, she seems more submissive and willing to placate Trump. Yeah. She doesn't have anything within her that kind of, like, wants to fight back against that. And I'm not sure of what her past or her previous relationships or her childhood is like, but sometimes when we go through things, we find it easier to be appeasing because they're not yelling at you. They're not screaming at you. You just try to make it as comfortable as possible so that you don't have to feel the wrath of that person. And I think that's who Hope Hicks is. I wouldn't compare her to Cassidy Hutchinson at all. I wouldn't do that. Because if she was, Trump would be, like, going for the throat when it comes to her.
Right,
because
you went after Cassidy Hutchinson. I think Hope Hicks was trying to save her ass, and I think Cassidy Hutchinson was trying to do the right thing. I think that's the difference between them.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
Hope Hicks would have been easy for her to keep the attorneys that Trump got her. But she's like, wait a minute, let me get my own attorneys and get some real advice over here.
Right.
So it'd have been easier for her to just go along with the program. But when she decided not to do that, you know, I think that's what separates them, the two of them.
Well, I think the difference with Cassidy Hutchinson, even though she's so young, I think she was smart. She was seeing things that politicians and his inner circle should have seen a long time ago. Back when she testified, she saw how this was going to end up, that it was not going to end well for Donald Trump. And everybody else stood by him far too long because they thought Donald Trump would ultimately save them. And Cassidy Hutchinson knew better. And I think we're finding out that she was right. I mean, all these people will end up walking away from Donald Trump, but it's too little, too late. And they aren't going to get the stink off them. Junie would hate these fuckers because they would stink so bad.
Yeah, you know how you always say, like, a narcissist looks a certain way when you're further away from them than when you're up close? It's like she was up close, but not only was she up close, and this is so weird, I do not know how women are around his inner circle. Like, in her book, when she was talking about how Rudy Giuliani like groped her and how he was acting towards her. Like he had free rein to do that with any women that were around Trump. I think for her, it's kind of like this right here, what I'm being subjected to, it's not worth it. It's not right. And then she could have in her mind too, like, I'm still young. If I speak out now, like I still have a chance. I think she had people around her who would tell her the truth, and not everybody has that. Because sometimes somebody telling you the truth can really click something in your brain. I think she was just like a more, she was willing to see Trump for who he was.
Right.
And I think there's other people who are still looking at him from like back here, or they're living in some kind of delusion that I would say, because I'm sorry, like right before this, I was watching that Tim Scott interview. So they're still delusional.
we're going to get to
delusional.
We're going to
a
get
lot
to
of
Tim
people
Scott.
Are delusional when it comes to Trump.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing.
Well, I don't know why after seeing January, if you see January 6th, right, what he did when he left all of his supporters go to jail, they're being hunted by the FBI, their family members are turning them in. Trump didn't pardon any of these people. He went golfing. Like after January 6th, you didn't hear anything from Trump. He wasn't getting any business done. Well, he wasn't getting none done beforehand. But he was just out there golfing, just like living out his final days, right? So I don't understand why people today think that if they help Trump, that in any form or fashion, he's going to pardon them, help them out, do any of this type of stuff. Like you've seen with your own two eyes, he is not going to do that. It's kind of laughable if it wasn't so sad.
Well, and the thing about that question, why didn't he pardon those people or either other people around him? Before he left office. And I don't know if it was Bill Maher or if it was somebody on MSNBC, they made a very good observation. Everything with Donald Trump is transactional. He doesn't do anything unless he's going to get something back. And by pardoning all those people that were sent to jail for January 6th, he didn't see that as helpful to him at the time. Now he's talking about it. But even though he's talking about it, should he become president again, I still don't think he'll do it. I mean, he'll say a lot of things that he's going to do, but he won't do most of it because it will change when he gets to the point where he actually has to make the decision, because he'll look and see how it's going to benefit him. And if it doesn't benefit him or hurts him, doesn't matter what he promised. He's just not going to fucking do it.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it. I don't know. I can't remember who said it, but what they said was like being in Trump's corner right now and just at his beck and call, willing to do his bidding. Your future, like let's say he gets in power, he gets what it is that you're pushing. Your life day to day is going to be dependent on how Donald Trump wakes up and feel that morning. So you never know. Where even Fox News, like the only reason we have Newsmax and OAN and all of these other networks is because when they called Arizona, he was telling his supporters, those are fake news. Don't watch them. Go here, go there. These are the real journalists, right? And that's the reason that they ended up in that lawsuit, is because they're like, wait, we can't lose our audience. We got to get them back. We need to start lying for Trump and buying into all of this crap. But it's so odd to see. And these are people who know better.
Right.
And it's I don't know if it's just the power or what, but when you put somebody like that in a position of power to where they have control over you, there is no stability. You don't know if today he's cool with Fox News. He could do an interview tomorrow with Fox News and they ask a question he don't like. And that very next day, we want to shut down this network. We want you to go over here. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. It's so up and down when it comes to him. The people who are promoting him, I'm starting to think that in the back of their heads, or they know he's going to lose. And so they're just like right now, they're just doing whatever to get the views. I don't think they see him as a threat because they don't really think he's going to be in a position of power. Because if they were, I don't think that they would be going hard for him like they are, especially Fox News.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of. You know, I'm not much of a gambler. I'll play slots, just fucking around or whatever. But they're really gambling hard. These people that are standing strong with Donald Trump, for him to be able to do something for them, to actually get something out of their loyalty and support, two things are going to have to happen. One thing is going to have to not happen, and one thing is going to have to happen. Number one, he isn't going to be convicted of a felony conviction. That's very important as to whether he's going to be in a position to even be close as the presidency. So he's got to not be convicted, which is virtually impossible in the Manhattan District situation right now. And secondly, he's got to be elected president, and he's not going to be elected president. I don't know why these people can't see that this is a sucker's bet. You're not going to get anything out of this. You're just going to look stupid when it's all said and done.
Well, yeah, his supporters, a lot of them, there's some of them that just don't care. Like, they know who he is. They know what he's about. They just don't care. Either that, or they are of the mindset that they like the things that he will do, like kick all of the brown people out of the country and take away rights and all that stuff, right? So they are down for that. They know who he is and they don't care. Some of them truly don't know better. But when you look at like the networks and the people that's pushing him, they know better. And they are like, yeah, he's not going to win. But what they're doing is they're playing with the minds of their viewership because that's revenue for them. Right. So even though they know better, even when he was doing a Dominion lawsuit, and you got to read the emails and the text messages between Hannity and Carlson and Ingram, like they all knew who he was and what he was about. And they all knew he lost, but they were just playing with the minds of the people that watched them. That is like so evil. And I think they're doing the same thing right now. Like they know better. Personally, I don't even think, and they were all vaccinated and everything. And they had all these vaccinated conspiracies going on and everything. They were like pushing their friends ahead of the line to get vaccinated. But when it came to just like the regular people, don't go get vaccinated. It's going to be a chip in your shoulder, all of this crazy stuff. So they know better. I don't even think these people vote for Donald Trump, to be honest with you. I think that they're just using the people that watch their program. And for whatever reason, they can go to sleep at night after they do that.
Yeah, it's pretty deceitful and lacks integrity, and they don't care as long as they're making $10 million a year to do it. Also, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. It is Monday. We're going into another week. Old Soul is with us, thank goodness. I've had a busy weekend or so recording a bunch of podcasts to fill in for the upcoming week, and I'm too old to be doing that much work. You know me, I'm lazy as shit, so I'm going to have Old Soul. I know when Old Soul comes on or Ed comes on or somebody comes on, I have to talk about half as much, if not less, and it just makes it so much easier for me, and they're so much smarter than me that I look good as long as they keep smart spewing the smart stuff that I maybe don't even grasp. You know, Old Soul, I wanted to talk about this past weekend because Donald Trump heads back into court today. And over the weekend, he was still having trouble holding his mouth. And I found it interesting. He was at a fundraiser. He was charging people $40,000 a head to go see him. And fucking people paid it. I don't get it. And then he said, well, you know, let's have a blue light special here. If you want to come up and talk, I'll let you for $1 million. And fucking people did that too. Not many, but some. But it was interesting what Donald Trump was saying at this little fundraiser. You can see it's getting to him a little bit. He's becoming a little more unhinged. He said that the Joe Biden administration is a Gestapo administration. Now, this is a guy who says he's going to be a dictator. This is a guy who caged children on the border. This is a guy currently saying that he will deport 20 million people. Yet Joe Biden is the fucking Gestapo. Talk about projection, huh?
Let's not forget about the camps that he's promising.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget about him, you know, talking about shooting shoplifters. Like, I don't think you should shoplift, but I don't think you should get shot for it.
Right.
What kind of deterrent is that? It's everything with that man is projection, everything. But I don't think that some of that stuff is projection. I really do think that Trump has no idea at all what it is. Like, he just don't know. He doesn't know what that is. I don't even think he knows what it means with the blue and the red lightsaber, like Luke Skywalker with Biden and the blue lightsaber. That means good, and the red means evil. So because Joe Biden had a blue lightsaber, Trump has to come out with a red one. He has no idea what that means. No reference point at all. He's just like, I have to be the opposite, and that's going to be better. I think a lot of stuff, he's just an idiot.
Well,
but with the Gestapo part, I think that's projection. I think that's projection.
It is projection. And, you know, you make an interesting point there. I think that Donald Trump is more dumb than he's evil. I think that he says whatever comes out of his mouth. There is no thought process about it. It's not an evil plan to destruct America. It is just simply going the opposite of what Biden might go, or just saying something that is in line with his bullying nature. Oh, you're going to do that. I mean, it goes back to, well, if you hit me, I'll hit you 10 times harder. That is the essence of a bully. And so I think that's what it is. When you hear him say some things, early on, I would say, oh, he can't possibly mean that. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. And I don't know if I could say he didn't mean it, but he didn't know what he was saying at the time. I mean, he implicates himself so much in this shit that it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy that it comes out of his mouth. And then you get Republicans trying to back him on it. It's truly amazing that smart people will listen to something said that's stupid, and then they'll try to support it. That takes some fucking work.
Not only try to support it, but justify it and make it make sense. Covering for Donald Trump is like a full-time job with time and a half. Like, it's crazy. But he kind of, like, one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. Like, I just love that movie. But one of the more fascinating things about Forrest is he stumbled into a lot of his greatness. Like, when he was at the White House and he had to use the restroom, like, that whole, like, he just stumbled into these things. Right. And I think that's kind of like the same thing with Trump. Like, a lot of things that happen as far as him, like, being in the White House and all that stuff, like, he just stumbled into this stuff. He had help, but it just had to be a series of circumstances in order to get him there. And I think that him and his supporters, they mistake that for some kind of like 3D chess that he's playing, and he's ahead above everybody else and all this other stuff. Like, no, that's not what it is. It was like a horrible, like, storm that got him to where he is. But it's just kind of like, now everybody sees the storm, but not only do we see the storm, but we have plenty of time to prepare for it. That right. wasn't the same thing in 2016. So they are looking at that series of unfortunate events and not realizing, like, let's say instead of Hillary Clinton, it was like Gavin Newsom or somebody like that.
Yeah.
There would not have been any Trump. Like, it literally had to be this perfect storm to get him to where he is. And they look at that as greatness. And I don't know if that's just ignorance, if they're in denial, if they don't quite get it. I know with Trump, he thinks that was just like the greatest thing ever. And right. He never even acknowledges that he lost the popular vote, because you would have to know that if it wasn't for the Electoral College, this wouldn't even been an option.
Right.
So I think that they are looking at it the wrong way, and that's where they get that miskewed confidence from.
I don't know how spiritual you are, but there's some part of me that thinks whatever greater power there is over the world, that Donald Trump was intended to be a little bit of punishment and a wake-up call. All right, I'm tired of your bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to set up some series of events that put you in a bad position. I mean, I've seen this in my own life where you go through bad shit only to come out the other side having learned a lot and going on to better things. And that's why I think that's what we're going through in this country. But it seems Donald Trump becoming president and all the following things that happened, it almost seems set up. It's like a bad movie to to teach a lesson or give a moral at the end. And that's what it seems like.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, just like as a country, America was just like so arrogant and so privileged. It's like, America, we're great because we're great. We don't need free health care. We don't need to feed our children. We don't need our kids to afford to go to college. We're great because we're America and we're great and everybody wants to come here. It was just like this arrogance and like this air about us, like we were just above everything and everyone. And it's just kind of like, now we know that, yeah, it can happen to us too. You know what I mean? Like, when we sit there and we look at Russia and we see them being under Putin's rule and how he is before, it's like, oh, that can never happen to us. And then we turn around every single day and we're reminded that, yes, that can happen to you. I do think it was a wake up call. I do think it kind of humbled us. Well, not all of us, but a lot of us in ways where we wouldn't have been humbled otherwise.
Right. You know, it's funny when, as you were just saying that, I was thinking about this. Donald Trump thinks the strength in America is how powerful we are and how rich we are, which parallels his own situation. I'm the best because I'm powerful and rich. And that may work in business, but when it comes to a country, a government, there has to be some compassion. There has to be some working for the people in the middle class in order to run this operation. He didn't need to do that when he was in business. It was all about self-aggrandizing and self-enriching himself. So he tried to translate that into running the country, and clearly that doesn't work.
Yeah, but when you think about it, when Trump says like he's rich and he's powerful and he's all these things, isn't that kind of like a symbol of America pre-Trump? Like, we had the illusion of being like rich and powerful and we can't be touched. Like,
right.
That was an illusion that we had, which is the same illusion that he has about himself. So it wasn't like unknown. It was just like an illusion that we didn't know was an illusion until that fool got up there. You know, like when you look at other countries and you see that they do have a single payer health system, which my daughter's like, start saying single payer. Don't say Medicare for all because people will look at it different. So a single payer health system and affordable college and all these other things, we're at a position now where we have to look at that and say, well, we're not number one in healthcare. We're not number one here. We're not number one here. So we can actually see the faults within ourselves. That illusion that Trump had, that illusion has been cracked, but it also cracked the illusion that we had about ourselves as a country as well.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of, I didn't think about that till you said it.
I didn't think about it till you said it. No, it's true. He pretty much blew up the illusion or delusion for both himself and this country because, you know, our country isn't the greatest country in many ways. I think personally, if we're fortunate enough to have what happened, what's going to happen is what I suggest, Joe Biden, the president. We get control of the House. We keep control of the Senate, maybe even expand that. We have a window of time to rectify some of the problems of this country. And Joe Biden and Congress need to get on their fucking bicycle and start getting it done from day one. No wait until 2 years later like Merrick Garland. Oh, we'll wait till the midterms. No, fucking day one, January 21, you need to start fucking passing bills.
You know, like, I think that's the best part of being like woken up from that illusion that we were under, is because like once you wake up from it, it's hard to go back to the way that it used to be.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, you know, it was accepted that corporations didn't pay their employees a living wage. Like, there was just so many things that was just accepted. But now that we are aware of it, especially with like my daughter's generation and younger, but now that we see it and we know what it is and we recognize it, it's going to be pretty hard to like go back to business as usual. because a lot of that stuff we just didn't really pay attention to, and we thought it was okay and we thought it was working for us. But now that we know that it's not, nobody wants to go back to that. So I do think, like, out of all the chaos and drama that's come with Trump, if you can take that part of it, it's a good thing that we can propel ourselves forward and not slip back into those old ways, because those old ways is what got us to where we are, like right now today.
Right.
The fair doctrine that you were talking about, like, we need to get that back into the media. People need to know the difference between an opinion show and a news show. Like, right. They really need to know that. In Congress, they should not be allowed to just sit there and lie to the American people with zero consequences. So I do think a lot of that stuff that we just kind of let roll, it's not going to be easy to just let that roll again. Especially with Trump, a lot of people are like, yeah, there is a two-tier justice system and we don't like it. When we sit here and we watch him just run roughshod over it,
right?
It's not going to be the same after that. And it shouldn't be the same, because it was so convoluted before that. We just were like ostriches, just buried our hands in the sand and like, let it be.
Right.
I don't think we're going to go back to that.
Well, and I think once they get control, the first three things they have to do is codify Roe v. Wade, try to bring back the fairness mm-hmm. doctrine. People will say, oh, it's only the media. Well, the media is a big problem in this country because we've got different sets of people with different ideas of what the facts are. And that's why we're divided as a country. Mm-hmm. So that is important. And then there's the Citizens United, which allows people to use as much money as they want to push their agendas. So the wealthy can do whatever they want. The poor and the middle class can't do anything. That whole thing where a company was a person and all that, that needs to be stopped. That needs to be ejected from this country, because it works just the opposite of what we want. We don't want money to take a big role in our elections. Republicans do, because it works to their advantage, but we need to get that out of the fucking mix too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like, I agree 100%. I really, really do. I think there's some people who are, I think there are some kind of like not Trump supporters, but they're still Republican or whatever. I think an independence, like those Nikki Haley voter type people, I think that they will vote for Biden with the hopes of it going back to the way that it was, because that worked for them. But just because it works for you doesn't mean that it works for everybody.
Right.
And I don't think that's what America is about, only a small percentage having the upper hand. And then I think we can see the benefits of it just as a country as a whole, because like when you look at like right now, the crime rate is just like drastically dropping, like just drastically dropping.
Right.
And that could be because when you give people jobs and they have benefits, they don't need to go out and steal and commit crimes. You know what I mean? And I think that people, when they look at the crime rate going down and they are trying to figure out why it's happening, like, people do want to work. They want to have a job. Even people who get out of prison, they want a second chance to be able to provide. But when you're telling them that nobody is going to hire you, it's kind of like putting them in a situation to where my children are hungry, I'm going to find a way to feed them.
Right.
So I do think we can see that real time. When you build America from the middle class out, from the bottom up, it benefits us as a whole. But not only that, people have money to go and spend it on your stuff. If people don't have money to spend on your stuff, then you're cheating your employees, you're taking shortcuts and doing all of this other crap. You don't need to do that when people have money to like legit invest in your brand. But I think a lot of people are seeing that. I know I'm seeing it. Like the crime rate going down. Yeah, because people got jobs now. That's a difference.
Yeah.
That's a difference.
And I think the short-sightedness in the wealthy people and the Republicans is this. If the middle class makes more money, two things happen. They pay more taxes. And they buy more shit from the wealthy corporations. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, it's like, I don't know what you would compare it to, but you're cultivating your crop so that it, you know, it yields well. And you could kind of look at the middle class at that, make them wealthy or make them comfortable so that they feel comfortable in going buying new cars, which is a problem these days. Or make them, put them in a position where they can afford schools or health care and that sort of thing. As they make more money, they're going to pay more taxes. Going back to the government, That just seems like common sense, but for whatever reason, it's short-sighted. I want all of it and I want it now. And I'm not going to be happy until everybody else is broke.
Greed.
That's a short, yeah, it's absolutely greed. And it's short-sighted because that greed will end up killing you too.
Right. I think that they look at it as the more that they have and as less as it is for everyone else, they're easier to control. You know, like I have all the money. So if you are desperate enough, you will work for $7 an hour. If you're
Right.
desperate enough, then you'll work extra hours without getting paid overtime. If you're desperate enough, then they look at it that way instead of looking at it as, well, we could all benefit from if everybody is doing good. They don't look at it as that way because they're so greedy. They want to keep everything to themselves. Like they don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to pay people's health insurance. They don't want to pay people a living wage. Like they don't want to do anything. They just want to offer themselves to make you desperate enough so that they can just control you into doing whatever it is that they want you to do. I think that's how they're looking at it, which I've never been a greedy person. I don't get it, but I do know people with that mindset though.
I think you make a good point there. It is greed, but it's not just greed of money. It's greed for power. So that makes sense as to why they try to run us into the ground, because they just want power and they want a bunch of, you know, royalty and serfs just doing their bidding. That's what it is. It's control. You know, I wanted to bring something else up. We talked about Donald Trump's fundraiser. And he collected all this money. He got a little unhinged. You know how he's calling Jack Smith a thug and a criminal and all that stuff. He took it a step farther during this fundraiser, and he called him a fucking asshole. Have you ever imagined a president, a former president, a candidate calling a district attorney or a federal prosecutor a fucking asshole? I mean... It just seems crazy. But my point is at these fundraisers, because I know you had some thoughts on one particular person, you got all these little fucking Trump-la-fuck little hangers-on now crowding around Donald Trump, hoping to be his vice presidential candidate, which I don't know why you would be, because you're going to get your ass kicked. But one of those guys is Tim Scott. And I know you have a little crush on Tim Scott. No.
Stand up, man. The wild child, she asked me the other day, I forgot what she was watching, but she was like, who taught him that word? And I was like, who are you talking about? She was like, Trump. I was like, what do you mean? She was like, you could tell when he learns a new word because he keeps using it. And she kept saying conflicted, 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 conflicted. I was just I don't know. She's like, who taught him that word? I guess he just uses it so much now, it just gets on her nerves. But
she's right. He does get a new word every week or so.
I'm surprised that's not what he was like throwing around all day at the fundraiser. But I do, Tim Scott, I seen him on Face the Nation. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know, why they asked Tim Scott this. I don't even know why they're asking Donald Trump this. They know that these people are going to follow Trump's lead. And previously in 2020, these people were like, well, you know, if Trump doesn't think that the election was fair, he has all these legal avenues. Once he exhausts those avenues, then there will be a peaceful transfer of power. Like that's how they sold it to us. Right. But now they won't even agree to that. Like I think she asked him like, what, 6-7 times? Will you agree to a peaceful transfer of power? Will you agree to a peaceful? And he would never say it. Well, Trump's going to be the winner. He's going to be the winner. And if he's not the winner, well, he's just going to be the winner. Like he sounded so programmed. Just me watching him as like a black man, I'm like, wow.
Well, he's a
that
coward.
So embarrassing. He's not invited to none of the cookouts like ever again. Tim Scott, that's over. He done. We don't claim him. But what is going on is
put it this way. If there's a cookout, I'll be there and I'll be given the job of kicking Tim Scott out. That's what's going to happen.
He ain't even going to make it to the grass. As soon as he comes to the curb, you got to turn around, homie. I think what's happening with what I'm seeing is happening is he has all of these people that's bidding for VP. They're having to prove their loyalty to him. I don't know. To me, not only is it career suicide, right? But you see what happened to the last vice president. Why are you putting yourself in that type of position? It's just, it's almost comical. But what it is it's like a loyalty test. You have to make sure you get his talking points out there. You have to say it with your chest out with some conviction. And you have to do whatever you can to make Trump sound as good as possible. And Trump is delaying, and he's playing all these little mind games with them to keep them jumping through these hoops. Not only that, but to keep them fundraising for him, to keep them on television talking about him. So the longer he can push this out, the more that they benefit him. So why have one VP pick and have all of that coming from one place where you can just like whisper in like five, six people's ear and have it coming from six different directions? So that's all he's doing is like playing with them, and they are just out there jumping through hoops, bending over backwards, running through the obstacle course with glee.
And this is his mental disability here, because above everything else, he needs the adulation, the pats on the back. And now he's got these people bouncing around doing whatever they're doing, hoping that Donald Trump will choose them for the prom. I can't wait to see Tim Scott's prom dress come the coronation of the VP. It'll be absolutely lovely. I still think that Donnie may insist that he get a fake girlfriend. That may be needed. So if you get a call, I mean, everybody else is calling you. Old soul, Tim Scott needs a favor. We need you to be his beard. I'm guessing you turn him down.
He like who? I don't know, no Tim Scott. It's just, but they're all doing it. You know what I mean? Like they, but I do think a part of that too, it comes from desperation. Because at one point, these people were like name brand figures in the Republican Party. But now, since MAGA's come on the scene and you got Marjorie Taylor Greene over here sucking up all the oxygen, they went from name brand to generic. So they're trying to stay relevant. And I think that they think this is the best way to stay relevant when it's not. Because if it was me, I would just kind of like hang back and then like let this play out. And then I would be able to step forward. Like, y'all didn't see me going hard for Trump. Y'all didn't see me going hard for MAGA. It's a lot easy to reinvent yourself when you don't put yourself out there like that. But when you put yourself out there like that, it puts an image of you in people's mind that don't need to be there. And it's going to be that much harder to like get from under that shadow. And I don't think any of these people are going to come from up under that shadow. They're just not going to. The easiest thing for them to do is just to fall back and let the chips fall where they may, and then step forward with whatever excuse it is that you want to give. But when you tie yourself to Trump, and you're out there going, like, this is on video camera. People can replay this 30, 40 years into the future. I don't know why they don't understand that. It's not going to disappear. But these are all people who I wouldn't mind seeing go to the wayside.
Well, and it seems like any of these people that want to be vice president are in a race to find out who's most despicable. We had Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. She writes a book and says, says, "Yeah, I killed a worthless puppy with a shotgun." Like that's a flex. And then she gets called out on it because it's horrific, and she doubles down and triples down, and she thinks she's saving herself by saying, "Well, I killed some goats and a horse too." And Donald Trump derides her, but then forgets about it, and now he's hyping her up again. She literally could be the vice presidential candidate, and every commercial will be her shooting a fucking puppy. It's just unbelievable to me how she even thought. I mean, who's editing that book that says, "Oh, this part you shot the puppy? We should probably take that out." No, that one shows I'm strong.
What's her name? Eric Jr., his girlfriend, the one that used to be with Gavin Newsom.
Yeah,
The
what's her
one
name?
that looked, yeah, she looked like she just like woke up from a casket. What is her name? That, like, anyway, so she was like, I guess her and Christy Noem was like cool with each other, and she couldn't bring herself to say anything bad. So she's just like, I don't know, maybe somebody snuck that in a book and she didn't recognize
Oh
it.
yeah,
It's just
somebody.
kind of like, like they don't have the ability. Like they're not supposed to admit that they made a mistake. They're not supposed to admit any error or anything because that's seen as weakness within the Republican Party. Like it's a lot more difficult to like come forward with a sincere, like, yeah, I didn't really realize how bad that was. I do apologize, blah, blah, blah. It's just like you have to double and triple down on it. And I think her doubling and tripling down on it is earning her respect within Donald Trump because he
Oh, I do
knows
too.
no matter what he does or says, she's going to double and triple down on it. And that's what he's looking for.
Well, the name you were looking for, Don Jr.'s girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who at one time was kind of a normal looking human. She was even married to Gavin Newsom, for God's sake, and that'd be the first question I'd ask him. I like you for president, but fuck, what were you thinking? Anyway, Kimberly Guilfoyle. I've said this before and I thought it might get me in trouble, but I'll say it again because I don't give a fuck. Every time I look at that woman, I'm a little frightened. And I think of that song by Aerosmith, Dude Looks Like a Lady, or The Lady Looks Like. I mean, she just, there's something off about her. I don't know what it, and I'm not deriding transgender people. I'm deriding her because she's such a creepy, fucking horrible human being.
Well, I was looking at her like when I was like younger, I would have to sneak and watch this show because my grandmother wouldn't let us watch it. It was Tales from the Crypt. And I
Yeah.
swear to God, she looked like that little dude when he's sitting up out of the casket. Either that or just like how people don't realize that her and Don Jr. are like on some hardcore stuff. It's beyond me. Like you can look at them and it kind of like reminds me of like a rock star couple that has
Yeah.
just gone way too far. And it's just kind of like they put themselves in a bubble to where I don't know, like I don't even know how people around them don't tell them this is not going to end well. That is
Right.
just like an anti-drug commercial, like walking and talking every day. It's pretty sad to see somebody like go from this to that. It's
Well,
I'm speechless with that one.
between Stephen King and some top shelf director, they got to say, I don't know if she can act, but we got to put that bitch in a movie because she is scary as fuck. And then put Don Jr. as some dupe bouncing around, bouncing off the walls, because that guy, you're right, he's definitely on something. You know, when I look at her, I looked at the pictures when
No
she was.
makeup, like no makeup needed at all.
No,
Like
no.
when she arrives on set, she looks the part. No makeup needed. Just put her out there.
But you know, the thing is, if you look back at the pictures when she was married to Gavin Newsom, she was kind of an attractive woman. And now you see her as she is now. It's
Yeah.
like those things on the internet where they show pictures of people before and after crack cocaine, and it's just fucking light years away. Now,
It's
now.
like it's like those glow up reels, like but in reverse. You know what I mean? Like instead of glowing up, she glued down or something. I
What the fuck filter
don't
does she have? Jesus Christ.
And why she had to use one? What's the Carrie Lake? Carrie Lake needs to let her know, hey, this is the filter for you. Like get your filter game up because we all need to see this.
Yeah, Carrie Lake looks relatively normal, but that soul is ugly as fuck. Clearly, some people will come to this and make comments and say, well, you shouldn't look shame people. Eh, fuck you. She's an evil person, and I'm going low. If you think I'm above that, you don't know who I am. Now, just to protect old soul, she's a lovely woman, very compassionate. And if you're mad at her about this look shaming thing, just understand I sucked her into it. I made her do it.
No, you didn't. I got
Okay.
eyes full of them right here, and I can see that woman's ugly.
Yeah. ugly, physically and morally. Well, also, we're going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast for this Monday. I appreciate you coming on. We got a special treat. It's going to come later in the week because Old Soul is going to be on Friday of this week. Now, you have to understand what's going on. This has a lot to do with logistics and the fact that I'm lazy. I was going to talk to Old Soul and run the show on Friday, but I thought, you know, Old Soul has some serious impact on what's going on and knowledge about what's going on. We need to get that right now. And so I talked her into doing one show, this show, then stopping, and then doing another show that will air Friday. But this is going to be a special treat because people don't know this. Every time we do a show, you and I probably talk for another hour off recording. So the show on Friday will be basically the Old Soul after show. And it's going to get crazy up in here. Let's get it. All right. Old Soul, thank you for joining us here today on this Monday. We'll look forward to Friday. For those of you listening, I appreciate you taking the time to listen. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're looking forward to talking to you again. So stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.